Some of the views expressed on the Mormon Channel are solely for the education and inspiration of our audience and may not represent the official position of the Church.
I'm Nancy Hansen, and this is Everything Creative, a program of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The desire to create is one of the deepest yearnings of the human soul. We each have an inherent wish to create something that did not exist before. The more you trust and rely upon the Spirit, the greater your capacity to create.
I'm Nancy Hansen, and this is Everything Creative. This program explores a wide range of creative ideas, talents, and experiences through interviews and group discussions. Welcome to Everything Creative, a program of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm Nancy Hansen, and today we are here with singer, songwriter, and artist Megan Smith. Hi, Megan.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being here today.
It is my pleasure.
Yeah. And also joining us is Jason Mingo, who happens to be Megan's husband. Well, you guys came all the way from Nova Scotia to Utah.
We did.
Mm-hmm. For a couple of concerts here in town and to spend some time with us here on the Mormon Channel. So we're excited to have you. Let me tell you a little bit about Megan. She has a record out on Warner Records right now, a CD, and she is an incredible singer-songwriter who I can't wait to learn more about as we talk to her about her writing process and her career. She recently had a song on the movie 500 Days of Summer. And she most recently won Canadian Juno Award for Best New Artist. Is that right, Megan?
That's right.
And that's equivalent to our Grammys here in the United States. Yeah. So that was very cool.
It was pretty exciting, yeah.
And so we're thankful that you could come down, play a couple concerts here in Utah, and spend some time with us.
Oh, thanks so much for having us. It's just a pleasure to be here and to see the beautiful mountains and to check out, you know, Utah. It's cool.
Well, Megan emailed me a couple, maybe even 2 years ago. It's been maybe a year and a half. I don't know. And said, I am a big fan of the Mormon Channel and I listen to Everything Creative. And she was just so nice about the show and about the whole channel. And so that's something that you regularly listen to.
Yeah, I just, I have it on my computer. I just, you know, when I'm upstairs, I have this little office upstairs that I, in our house that I paint, I do my paintings and drawings, and I work on my music up there, and I just have, you know, the Mormon Channel going in the background, and it keeps me going. Yeah.
It's awesome. And you you've been a member of the church.
Yeah, my parents are converts, so I was raised Mormon.
Okay.
And Jason is a sort of recent convert. So, yeah, the two of us have been, we've been married for
6 years.
Coming on 6 years, yep.
How did you meet Jason?
We actually met on the city bus in Halifax where we live, and we took the same bus every day for quite a long time. And after a few months, Megan started talking to me because she overheard me talking to a friend on the bus about being in a band or playing guitar or something, and it just all went from there.
So it was like 3 months of riding the same bus and no one was approaching, like we were just not approaching each other. But I caught him like checking me out every now and then. And I kind of felt the same way. So I thought to myself, you know, that's it. Like someone just needs to say something here. So yeah, I walked up to Jason. I had heard him talking to a friend about band practice and playing guitar. So I went up to him and I said, I heard you play guitar. We should go to an open mic night or jam sometime. And he blushed really, really red. And then I thought, oh, he's just really shy. So, and then we've been hanging out ever since.
Very nice. And so were you introduced to the church through Megan?
Yeah.
Is that your first experience with Mormons?
Yeah. You know, I remember seeing like these old TV commercials from the 80s, like when I was a kid. But besides that, that was the first thing I had ever heard about them. And I'd get invited to like a fireside on a Sunday night, and I was totally ready to go go to the restaurant, the fireside in our city, and but that's not quite what it was.
Or go roast marshmallows or something.
Around a fire. Yeah, that's kind of a funny term we use, huh?
Yeah, there's a few.
Tell us a little bit about your conversion.
I was, I think, 23 at the time. I met with the missionaries probably a year and a half almost, and I went through quite a few of them and a few different ones. And I eventually decided to join. A little over a year later, we got married.
Yeah, we got married in the Toronto Temple.
Yeah.
So, and we, when Jason was investigating the church, we were dating at the time. And so it was important to me that he made the decision on his own and not because we were going out. So we set up a lot of appointments with other churches as well to learn, so he could learn more about other churches, because you didn't really go to church a whole lot when you were growing up, did you?
I did not at all, just on Christmas maybe and maybe Easter, and I just figured I should research some other churches and not just research one and say, oh, this could be the one. And I felt I had to look into other ones to see if maybe they were the one.
Absolutely. I respect that. I'm sure that was a little difficult to kind of separate and make sure that, you know, you weren't too much of an influence in that decision.
Well, that's why I felt it was important to research other churches, and I actually really enjoyed it. We set up appointments with, you know, different clergymen of, you know, we went to see a Catholic priest, and we talked to, like, a Baptist minister, and, you know, we went to a Presbyterian church and attended, you know, their services, and really, it was really a really great learning experience for me, and I think it helped Jason. You know, we'd have a discussion after we would go to these churches and, you know, talk about the great things that they have to offer and what how it differs from the Mormon church, and then, you know, what did he, how did he feel about that, and what did he think was important, you know? And so it was cool. It took him a year, like he said, over a year, but I feel like we put in our due diligence, and I don't think that Jason's testimony rests on me.
Yeah.
And that's important to me.
Yeah, definitely. I can see that. Well, let's talk about your music. So the two of you, she calls you your husband because Megan primarily sings and you play guitar as well, Megan, and Jason, you play guitar. And you often will play with other players in a band situation, but you just sound wonderful, just the two of you together. I think that sounds so fun. Let's just give our listeners a little reference. And why don't you play something for us?
Sure.
Tell us what you want to play and a little bit about it.
We'd love to. Well, I would love to play a song I wrote for my grandfather. It's called I Know. And let's pick up our instruments and I'll talk about it while we're playing. So I'm going to play a song here that I wrote for my grandfather, who's, he's great, but he doesn't really like to talk about his emotions very often. And he just turned 85, and you know, I really want him to know how I feel. So we have these conversations, and we talk about his hip and his teeth. And when it's time to say goodbye, I make sure that I let him know. You know, I'm not sure when I'm going to see him again or for how long we'll be gone. So I say, well, bye, Grandpa. It's great talking to you, and I love you. And he doesn't say anything back. It kind of makes him really awkward, but that's okay because I know. It's in our hello, in the way your smile glows. And it's in our goodbye, in the tear in your eye. And all in between, when you're looking at me, I know, yes, I know. What you don't say, mm-hmm.
that shimmers through in the things that you do. Like when you write me a note and you send it by post. And what you might not sign on that bottom line, I know, I know. Yes, I know what you don't say. And words are not needed, 'cause all my ears could be misled. My heart can hear instead what goes unsaid. A hug and a kiss. Oh yes, and that little phrase, those three words you can't say. Hey, but please don't be blue, 'cause I always knew, and I know, yes I know, and
I love it. So great. Who would think that song's about your grandma or your grandpa?
I don't
know. Because I've heard that song long before I heard the story, and it's just, it could be about anyone. So it's fun to hear the story behind the song.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, and that's the nicest thing is that, you know, about music, it can be, you can write a song about something completely different, and then someone else can take it, and it means whatever they want it to mean to them, you know? I think that's great.
Yeah. So talk about that process when you wrote that song. How do you write? Is it the same every time, kind of similar? Do you start at the top and write the verses and go through the chorus? Do you come up with just a hook? You
know, it's different. Yeah, it's totally different every time for me. My process just changes all the time. That particular song, I just happened to write it after I had heard my grandfather, after I had talked to my grandfather. And I just had this overwhelming, like, he never says I love you back, but I know he loves me. And I felt like that was something I wanted to share with other people. And that was, you know, something I wanted to let him know, too, without really confronting him. And, you know, because I don't know how he would handle that if I was like, why did you ever tell me you love me?
Yeah.
So I wrote this song instead. And you know, like I said, a lot of people say, you know, after a show, or, you know, they'll message me or email me and say, you know, my mom is like that, or my father's like that, or, you know, somebody in their life. And so, and they can relate. And the amazing thing is that My grandfather did find out that song was for him, and it's changed him. He says it now.
Oh, sweet.
Isn't that adorable?
Look at that. Yes. So do you write lyrics and music at the same time?
I do. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like they both sort of dictate to me what the other's going to do. I can't really come up with a poem and then put it to chords or a melody, because the two really are intertwined for me.
But and that's they kind just, of grow and create together.
Yeah, yeah, and what I feel like what my lyrics are saying, my vocal movement should sort of match that. And so they kind of just happen together at the same time.
Yeah. Well, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Everything Creative on the Mormon Channel, and we're talking with Megan Smith, particularly about songwriting right now. Let's just get a little bit into I just want to ask you a couple questions about your writing, and I'm curious if you ever do you feel like you're a prolific writer, or is it kind of, okay, I need to write a song? And do you always have things kind of moving around in your mind?
Well, I think I go through phases. I can sit down and make myself write a song if I have a deadline or something, mm-hmm. which I don't enjoy that as much as a song just sort of falling in your lap, which, as you probably know, you know, sometimes that happens and they just kind of like, you don't know where they came from. They're just all of a sudden there they are and they're just coming out of you and it's a finished song. And, you know, those are treasures. Those are like just little gems that are blessings or something.
Yeah, those are fun to write.
Yeah, aren't those great? And I find that I experience those usually when I feel really strongly about something, or I've just had a conversation with someone that, or experienced something that has stirred up a lot of emotion. Like when I'm really emotionally engaged, mm-hmm. I feel like that's when those songs happen for me. But a lot of times it's just it's a very slow process. I wouldn't say that I'm prolific at all, at least not with writing good songs. I write a lot of less than awesome songs, but for songs that I consider to be good, it takes me some time.
Do you have just one going at a time, or do you have a few?
No, I have a few. I try and write down all my ideas. I try, like, do you ever get like a little lyric or, you know, just an idea for a song or a theme? I try and keep track of that. So I have a big file on my computer full of song ideas, and then I'll go through those and just pick one or two and then work on those. And if I get stuck on those, I'll move to another one. So,
yeah, I've found when I've talked to people that they kind of do it one way or the other. It's just one song at a time and I can't concentrate on another one because, you know, it starts to turn into the other song or whatever.
Yeah.
Or they're able to just keep a bunch of them going and kind of nurture them as they move along.
Yeah, and that's the cool thing about songwriting, too, is there's no rules.
Oh,
And, you know, anybody can write a song. You just make something up. That's what it is. And co-writing, too, is really neat because you can learn different like ways of writing, or, you know, you can experience someone else's way of writing and try it yourself. And Jason and I have actually co-written a few songs together, which is interesting.
Jason, do you write lyrics?
I would say I help out with lyrics. I don't think I would write like a whole verse or a whole chorus for somebody, but I would kind of make suggestions and help out would be the extent that I would work on lyrics, I think.
Mm-hmm. And do you kind of have a melodic sense and more of a contribution in the music end? Or how do you guys co-write together? You sit down together and create the song, or do you kind of show them, this is what I'm working on, where do you think this should go, or what's your process together?
It happens all sorts of ways, yeah. I think.
Jason, just you know a lot of theory. You know a lot of chords. Jason has a lot of great ideas musically.
And that kind of dictates where you would go. You would go somewhere different when you're hearing what he's playing. Oh, I could go here or there, where you might be limited in, like you're saying, maybe not knowing all of the theory or the chords that are the possibilities for that.
Yeah, I'm very, very limited. And Jason's you can talk for yourself, but he's he's self-taught
I guess I'm self-taught and I feel I have a lot of musical ideas, and, you know, if somebody doesn't like an idea, I'm okay with that because I think I have, like, a whole bunch more in the back of my head that I can suggest or try.
Yeah. Do you collaborate with other people now, or are you mostly just with Megan musically?
Yeah, I collaborate with a whole bunch of different people on co-writing, and I play guitar for a lot of people, and I record guitar for a lot of different artists for their CDs.
Oh, so you do studio work?
Yeah, and for like videos or commercials or something like that, and just everything.
And is that what you were doing when the two of you met?
No.
No, we both had day jobs. Yeah.
We both had different careers, yeah.
Well, that's cool. So your lives have grown into this sort of together.
Yeah, it's been a like just a series of things that have just worked out amazingly. I mean, you know, from meeting on the bus of all places to, having this wonderful marriage and, you know, both of us working separate day jobs to then getting lucky enough to be able to do music full time together. It's just, I mean, you know, it's a dream come true for me and hopefully for Jason.
Yeah, it seems really fun. You enjoy it, right, Jason?
Yeah, I guess even when I was working on my other job, I guess in my mind, I was a full-time guitar player.
Mm-hmm. And this was just your other job to kind of get you through.
Yeah.
To pay the bills, but now it's full-time.
Yeah.
your job before was as an animator, am I right?
Yeah.
Talk about that a little bit.
Well, I love animation. I love animated movies and, you know, Pixar is like my favorite. I go see all the Pixar movies and I really love animation as an art form too. And so I went to college to study animation. And while I was at college, there's like a recording studio where you could go record the voices for your animation projects. And I was really shy as a teenager and as, you know, in my college years, I was so shy, especially about my music. Hmm. But I would like play to one person or two people maybe. I'd bring my guitar and music was kind of my escape, especially when I was drawing, like, you know, because I studied 2D animation, so that's just hand-drawn on paper. So it got really monotonous after a while.
Yeah.
So music was kind of like my release and my escape. So I'd bring my guitar to a stairwell in the school somewhere and play, because the acoustics are so beautiful, mm-hmm. and there's just all this echo. And so I'd play to, like, one or two of my friends. And then word kind of spread that I put on these mini concerts. And so some of my classmates also felt the need to get away from the animation studio for a while. So I started performing for 5 people. And then there was, you know, my teachers started coming. And the engineer who worked at the recording studio mentioned, he said, you know, you should come in and record some of the songs you've written. It'll take us like a half hour and you can just play them one after another and have a little record of it. So that was the first time I ever recorded anything and decided that maybe I would like to be a musician. But again, I was so, so shy and nervous and had horrible, like, debilitating stage fright. So I kind of just made the recording and then, you know, just went on living my life. I graduated from animation college, and then I went on to do storyboards for some kids' TV shows. And it was a lot of fun. I loved that job. You know, it was drawing full time. I mean, it kind of doesn't really get a whole lot better. Maybe singing and drawing full time, which is what I do now. So,
did you listen to our episode on Everything Creative, the Animators?
Of course I did.
Fascinating.
Yes. Yeah.
It does look
absolutely
fun.
It is a lot of fun. The thing that I found unfulfilling, though, for me was that I was kind of just drawing other people's ideas. And I didn't feel overly creative in terms of ownership or making something that I felt was mine. I loved drawing and contributing to story ideas and that sort of thing. But it wasn't, they weren't my characters and they weren't really my stories. I was really just kind of doing what I was told. And that left me wanting a little bit.
So is that kind of where you're... Well, if our listeners visit your website, they can see that you've animated your bio.
Yeah, I drew some of the illustrations that were in there. And a lot of my videos have animation in them, too. Mm-hmm. I have a really good friend named Darren Rawlings who did a lot of the animation. We went to school together, and he's just such a talented artist. And I just love
so knowing this about you and watching those videos, you go, oh, let's see how that works.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about, you brought a couple of your little mini paintings today with you. And they are just adorable. They're just, what, like 2x3 inches?
Yeah, they're super small.
Little tiny.
And they come in their own frames that I find around, you know, and I just paint these tiny little ridiculous sort of portraits.
Why don't you describe one for us? Like, tell us about this. A lot of them are robots and animals, right?
Yeah, robots are just, I don't know. I just love
robots.
What's
the thing with robots?
they're so human. They're like humans building something that they're trying to make human, but they're not. And there's so many wonderful contradictions in a robot. And so, yeah, I paint a lot of robots as different, doing different professions, or like this one that I'm holding here is a geisha bot. So it's a robot that's dressed up as a geisha. And, and, you know, I have this whole series. I've done over 100 of these mini paintings that are, I really have quite a following and you know, people buy them within hours of me posting them online or, you know, having them at my shows. They sell out within minutes, really. So it's actually, you know, it's becoming another really great way for me to get my name out and for me to express some creativity, and it's so fun.
They're so great. How did you get started? What gave you the idea? And how long have you been doing these little
I've been doing them for about a year, and
so it's fairly new.
Yeah, it's pretty new. And I saw these frames, and I was like, you know, these tiny little frames, they look like they should be in a dollhouse or something. And wouldn't it be cool if there's a portrait, like a quirky little portrait of some little character? And that was it. I painted a robot and I posted it on my Twitter. I took a picture of it, posted it on my Twitter account. And then like 17 people were like, is that for sale? And I said, well, I guess, sure. And then I just started doing series of these mini paintings. I like doing animals and some humans, but a lot of robots and animals. And they all have names and little stories. And
so they're all originals that you sell.
Yeah. I haven't gotten into doing prints yet, but that's something I'm exploring because there's a lot of people that wish they could get a specific painting, but it's already sold. So
yeah, I've seen that. So I follow you on Facebook, and I've seen that when you post, you know, you'll say, okay, I'm having a little mini art show, and the next post is, well, they're all sold out, so sorry. It's great. They're just adorable, and I can see why. And it's so fun because they're all just individual, you know?
Yeah, and I try and make them really colorful, and, you know, they don't take themselves too seriously.
Right.
But I feel like everyone should have some sort of original artwork in their home, so this is my contribution to that cause.
How long does it take you to do one of these?
The really detailed ones can take an afternoon, so a couple hours to, you know, up to an afternoon I'd usually spend on them. But again, they're just, you know, the music and art are like twins that I have or something. They balance me out when I am when I can't write any more songs or I'm really frustrated musically. I paint and draw, and that really helps me work through my musical things. And then when I'm frustrated with my painting and drawing, I go back to music, and it just works out.
Because you always have to create. It just, I mean, more than anyone I've ever met, you just ooze creativity in everything you do. And just in the way that you dress, just in the way that you write, even when you write me emails, I mean, it's like, she's just so creative and your personality comes through. So it just seems like it's like breathing to you. You have to create.
That's probably, I have a lot of setbacks too. I have a lot of struggles and challenges. So I guess this is kind of how just how I live. But I think everyone is creative. Like everything is creative. Hairstyles are creative. Earrings are creative, you know, like whatever, you know, how you get dressed in the morning is creative. It's all creative. So these are just maybe obvious forms of creativity that I have. Because I'm lacking in a lot of other areas in my brain. But
do you mind talking about that, some of your limitations?
No. Yeah. I have a learning disability in math, and I have dyslexia, and I often get lost and confuse dates and mix up numbers. And so I could never have – I mean, it's a challenge for me to do, like, to help my nephews with their grade 6 homework. You know, I feel really blessed that I'm able to do this as a career because I really don't know what else I could do.
Yeah. Well, obviously, this is your thing, and you shine and excel at this.
Well, yeah. Again, I think, you know, growing up, you know, as a really little kid, I wasn't very good at sports, and again, you know, my academic skills were less than awesome too. So I spent a lot of time drawing and playing the piano. We didn't have cable growing up, so we never had like Nintendo or any of those, you know, what a lot of kids grew up with. I just, you know, we played outside, and my mom would give us a pile of popsicle sticks and some glue and like some tissue paper and be like, okay, make something out of this. And so
that's great.
It was a really creative home that I grew up into.
Are your siblings as creative?
Yeah, I have three sisters, and they're all beautiful singers, and you know, I seem to be the only one who has really pursued it, probably because the three of them are also really smart. So one is a nurse, and another one teaches sign language, and my other sister, who's a great person and great French horn player, she's actually a stay-at-home mom. So they've all chosen, you know, and use their talents and abilities in other ways, and this is kind of just how I'm using mine.
What about your parents?
My parents are awesome.
Music.
Yeah. My mom is a piano teacher, and she did try and teach me theory. But, you know, the combination of a learning disability and dyslexia and being a stubborn kid made for not a very conducive learning environment. So we stopped with our theory lessons. But she's an amazing – she was the organist in our ward for, like, forever. And my dad is a bass player and a beautiful singer. And so there was always music. If there wasn't someone – having a piano lesson, playing the piano, somebody was practicing the piano, and then there were, like, multiple radios in every room that were playing different music, and so.
So it's always been just a possibility for you, just a way of life. There's just music around, and anyone can play music.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. Jason, what about you? When did you start to play guitar?
I was 15 when I started. I feel I have a different story, like, and it's pretty special to me because I don't feel like I had any interest in playing piano or guitar or picking up any musical instrument. I had no interest whatsoever. And then my cousin got an electric guitar, and he brought it home. And we were pretty much like brothers, and we spent a lot of time together. He brought this guitar home, and he showed me what he learned at his first lesson, and it was kind of like Smoke on the Water or
that's everybody's, right?
Louie Louie or Wild Thing or something like that. And he showed me these songs that he learned, and he handed me the guitar for me to try and play what he had just learned. And I just picked it up, and right from that moment, I kind of like something went off in my head, and it said, "You are going to be a guitar player now for the rest of your life." And you need to get one of these things. So I went home and I told my parents that I have to buy an electric guitar.
I have to.
Yeah, so I searched like the newspaper for like buy and sell ads, and I found one pretty close to home, and I got it later that week. Then I started learning how to play a bunch of songs, and then I started playing with a bunch of older people, and I started playing in bands.
You never took a lesson. Did you learn from books or just by listening and copying? How did you learn?
Yeah, books and listening and, like, learning how to play songs off the internet and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this was back in the day. There was no YouTube or anything. And it was just, like, text, but it was, like, guitar tab, I guess it's called.
Yeah.
So I just learned a whole bunch of songs that way and
I mean,
magazines.
That's what I think is so great now is that, you know, people can go on the internet and watch tutorials and pretty much learn how to play the guitar or any instrument, really. If you're motivated, there's people out there that are great that are willing to show you.
Yeah.
You know? And you obviously just picked that up and went, oh, this is my thing. I got to do this. And so you were determined to master it, to figure it out.
Yeah, it wasn't a choice, really. Yeah. It was just like, this is what I do from now on.
Hmm.
And it's kind of weird, but I really like it because, you know, I wasn't forced by anyone. It's just what happened.
Yeah, that makes it. It's not like your parents are you down there practicing?
Yeah. They were like, can you stop practicing?
So you started on electric.
Yeah.
And what kind of music did you really like then? What are some of your influences? Who are some of your influences?
A lot of people that I played with at the time, like local people that were older, and they were really, really great. You know, I have a wide variety of influences on guitar that range from like session musicians that play on a whole bunch of albums. Like, you wouldn't recognize their names, but they're on all the top hits, like out of Nashville and New York and Los Angeles. I like a lot of them. And I like a lot of the old jazz players and, you know, country players, rock players. When I was a teenager, I learned all the, you know, the rock classics and some of those songs learning. I'm sure my parents wanted me to turn down a little bit, but oh well.
What's your favorite style?
Geez, I like so many. I don't
hard to
really
say,
have
huh?
a favorite. I like playing with delays on electric guitar and get that sort of atmospheric, like moody vibe kind of going. And, you know, and I like rock and I like pop, like straight ahead pop a lot. and jazz and country, and I just like it all.
He likes it all.
He just likes music.
Megan, how would you define your style? It's pretty unique.
Well, I call it modern vintage. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's there's a lot of vintage elements, and I love the music of the 20s and 30s and 40s, but I don't want to just like recreate songs that have already been, you know, created perfectly by, you know, Benny Goodman or whoever, you know, Ella Fitzgerald. Yeah. And there's so many amazing artists from that time, but I want to, you know, kind of update it. So I infuse sort of those vintage sounds with a lot of samples and drum loops. Yeah. And, you know, just my, I have this friend who he's a turntablist. So he scratches records.
Yeah.
And he and I did a duet on the album, on my album, the Crickets Orchestra. And that's one of my favorite tracks because I'm singing over top of a string quartet, and then there are these, like, scratching records over top. And it sounds really cool to me, you know? And so I really like meshing old and new together.
Mm-hmm. And it totally works for you, that style. Did you have to sort of develop that and decide, I'm going to go this direction? Or is that, you know, early on when you were singing in the stairwell, is that sort of how you sang?
The stairwell days were kind of more like... I didn't have any sort of idea in terms of style or anything. Mm-hmm. There was no, like, you know, it was just, here's a song, and I didn't know there
and
was
I'm just
no,
going to sing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think though when I set out to do this record, kind of really quickly evolved into that. Like, I wrote the songs without knowing that they had this sort of vintage vibe to them. And then I kind of realized through talking to other musicians that I like a lot of jazz chords. I didn't know that they were,
right.
But I'm just, my ear is drawn to those, and I use them in my songs. And so when we went to record the record, it sort of just happened. And it was like, as soon as it all sort of fell into place, you know, I felt really good about it, and we just went for it.
That's why when people listen to your music and see you perform, it just feels really genuine. It's not like, oh, she's trying to kind of be this, you know?
Well, thanks.
So I think because it just naturally is something that resonated with you, and
yeah.
You weren't trying to be that, and it's kind of, it just totally works. It's
yeah.
So genuine.
Thank
you. Will
you
play something else for us?
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, what do you want to do?
Well, how about we do Poor? Okay. Well, this is a song that I wrote, actually, for Jason. So I was working as an animator, and... But I really, you know, I got to this point where I thought to myself, like, you know, I'm either gonna go for music because, you know, I'm getting to the stage in my life where this could be my life from now on. I could just work at this job, or I could try and do my music and really just see what happens, you know, like just try once and just see. So, I worked on my stage fright, which took me 4 years to get over that. And I wrote some songs and saved up a whole lot of money, which again, so I'd had 4 years to do all this. And so as soon as I, you know, had all my money saved up and I had my songs written, I hired a producer. We got a really great band. And then I went to the big city to make this record. So it was independently recorded. Mm. And, This is a song that I wrote for Jason during that time. And it's about our bank account.
Baby, don't weep no more for the farm going down. The bank may be at our door. We'll get by somehow. I don't need no fancy clothes to make me feel fine. It don't matter what I own, so long as you're mine. Baby, we ain't poor. I don't need no mansion, home to get lost inside. There's no room to feel all alone with you by my side. Hey, let's go the self same road in our dump of a car. And when it gives up the ghost, I'll be where you are. Oh, so rest your tired eyes, and with the daybreak, you'll see we'll be fine. Baby, we ain't poor. Baby, we ain't poor. Baby, we ain't poor. No, honey, we ain't. No, no. La, 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 la.
That's Megan Smith and Jason Mingo. You're listening to Everything Creative on the Mormon Channel. It's so great. You guys sound so good, just the two of you, here in the studio. It's awesome. So you mentioned that your album was a self-produced, mm-hmm. independent album. And yep. How did you get picked up then with Warner Records?
Well, there's a film festival in Halifax every year, and I just finished my record. And, got the master back, like, two or three days before. And I had signed up to do a workshop to meet and listen to a panel of film and TV supervisors from Los Angeles and New York and around, you know, various big-time cities. So I went, and I brought copies of my record that I had finished, and you know, a lot of musicians were doing the same thing and meeting people and asking about how to get our music out there and how to get it into film and TV. And I just passed out my record and you know, asked them to tell me what I could fix, and you know, because they, I mean, they're from LA and New York. I mean, and you know, I was thinking they're probably going to hear lots of things that I could improve on. So I asked them, what can I improve on? And then one of the girls said, you know, are there any cool places to shop around town? And so I said, yeah, I'll take you down the main road and show you the ropes. And so I ended up hanging out with a bunch of them for the day. The following Saturday, they had the day off. And so we kind of got to be friends. And as a result, I think they actually listen to my music, mm-hmm. because they're inundated with demos, yeah. and you know, and so so they listened to my record, and I heard back from them within a few days saying, we're going to pass this on and you should come to LA and mm-hmm. play a showcase, and who's your manager? And at this point, I did not have a manager. I couldn't get anybody to manage me. I had messaged some local managers and asking if they would help me out, and they said, you don't really have enough going on right now, so we're really busy, but good luck. And
yeah,
so I started getting phone calls from Coldplay's manager, and I heard from Sarah McLachlan and Rick Rubin, who is a huge producer. He worked with Johnny Cash, and he has produced Metallica, and you know, huge bands invited me over for tea. So I thought to myself, I need a manager.
Yeah.
And so then it was not as hard to get a manager, and I started. I went to LA and I played a showcase and started meeting with different labels, and that's really how it happened.
Wow. So then you recorded your second album, or was this kind of a re-recording?
This was the first record that that I have is called the Crickets Orchestra. Mm-hmm. And we ended up adding two new tracks. One track is called Heartbroken, which is the first track off the album, and it's the kids in my life, that's their favorite song. It's this really upbeat, poppy sort of tune. And then I did a song with a producer named T-Bone Burnett, who again is a huge producer, and he actually produced the song Poor for us. So those two tracks got added, but the rest of the album is exactly how
I then it was kind of just repackaged or you just add the two songs and then it's under their label.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. And they released it, and we've toured through the U.S. a few times and through Canada, and we've started breaking into the U.K., and we're just doing our best to get our names out there. And, you know, really what I've learned about the music industry, it's so tumultuous right now. There's so many things happening and changing with the internet and mm-hmm. people downloading music illegally. And, you know, it's a struggle to sell records. And that's really what keeps musicians going. And so, you know, what I've learned is that, you know, my fans are my most important asset. And a lot of my fans have become really good friends too. You know, I kind of feel like when we tour, we go back to, you know, when we go back to Chicago or Seattle or Toronto or Montreal, we have, you know, a set of friends that we see. And so it's, you know, it's just a great time. And really the best thing people can do for you is just to spread the word, you know, talk about it. So, and buy a copy of the record and give it to your friends and, you know, and just share music that way. And that's really kind of how we try and roll. And so, Yeah.
So what's next? Are you working on an album?
Yes, I am. I'm actually working on two records this summer. I'm doing some Christmas music for Christmas release this year. And then my new record, which will be out probably next year.
How exciting. So are you writing for that right now?
Yeah.
You are.
Yeah. Actually, we're heading out after we leave Utah here. We're going across Canada for a tour for a month. And I have to write 7 songs. That's like my goal. So... And then I should be done writing, I think.
How is that to write on the road when you're touring and performing? Have you done much of that?
you're kind of asking, like, you know, what you're talking about. Yeah. No, I haven't. I think it's going to be a challenge. But, you know, I'm pretty goal-oriented. And so I'm going to try and steal a few moments away here and there in a hotel room or, you know, between soundcheck and the show to just work on some songs because I'm recording pretty soon. And so
you have a deadline.
Yeah.
Well, if you're just joining us, we're talking with Megan Smith and Jason Mingo today. Can we talk a little bit about your life as a member of the church and a touring musician signed to a major record label and some of either the challenges or just the things you've seen out there that, you know, do people know about your religion? Does that ever come up? And how do you deal with anything that may be contrary to what you believe?
Well, we're not really known as Mormon artists. Some people are finding out and people find out, you know, if they want. And, you know, it's something I talk about if asked. And we end up, if we're on sharing a tour bus with another band, you know, they find out pretty quick that we don't drink with them after the show and, you know, we just do our own thing. And, you know, we've actually had some really great conversations and I've never really experienced any sort of prejudice or pressure to be different. A lot of times people are just really respectful and, you know, they do their thing and we do our thing. And we kind of both share, we find out a lot about what other people believe and share what we believe. And, you know, that's just kind of how we roll. And Jason, what do you think?
Yeah, I've gotten a lot of questions, I guess, on tour from, you know, people that you hang around with a lot. You know, they do find out, and then some of them have questions, and sometimes it has gotten into, like, really long conversations, a lot of questions on a lot of different things.
Yeah, people are usually just pretty interested and just want to know, why did you guys leave the tour bus and go to church on a Sunday morning? But, you know, I find it keeps me balanced. It keeps, you know, to have that spiritual aspect in my life and to be connected spiritually is really important to me in my mental health and my physical health and my creative health too. Mm-hmm. I find it's really necessary for me. And, you know, I think Jason's the same way. So it's fun. We get to go to church like all over the place and, you know, meet new people and share what we know and learn from other people. And I really haven't had any negative experiences.
That's awesome. So far. You guys are both very, very open and likable and just probably really casual as far as, hey, this is who we are and what we believe in. And who are you and what do you believe?
Yeah.
You know?
I find that's the best way because I think that helps people feel comfortable and they don't feel judged. And I think that's really important is that people, you know, it's important to share what you feel. And I think it's really important to respect that other people might feel differently or, you know, don't understand what we believe or, you know, and that's okay. And, you know, maybe they'll get there eventually or maybe they won't. But I think it's just really important to be open and not hide anything and be accepting of other people too.
Yeah. And it's probably pretty great that you get to meet people who find out that you're Mormon, that you're members of the church and go, oh, really?
Yeah.
You guys are like that?
Yeah.
You're cool and can play music and, you know.
There's a lot of cool Mormons who can play music. You know, it's just, it's a big part of who we are and our lifestyle for sure. But it's, you know, it's just, that's what it is. And it I think you're still your own person. Mm. You still have your own way of doing things and, you know,
how do you find that way to keep the balance and to maintain your spirituality when you're, you know, you're kind of out there and touring and.
Well, we do specific things. We have family prayer every day with the two of us, and we have our scripture study every night, and we attend church whenever possible and try and take the sacrament if it's just the two of us, and we have permission to do that sort of thing. But yeah, I try to meditate and, you know, just be conscious and, you know, live my life the way I would if I were at home, just on the road.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your mom for a minute.
Okay. Sure.
Just because I know she listens to the Mormon Channel.
She does.
And she said something on Facebook about the show and that she listens in and learns a lot about different people. So I just want to give a shout out to your mom.
That's so sweet. She's going to be thrilled. Hi, Mom and Dad.
It's great to hear people from, you know, all around the world that listen to the show and enjoy it.
Oh, Nancy, she's going to be thrilled. Yeah, she loves your program, and she's a quilter, too. So you had a quilting episode, and she turns on the Mormon Channel and quilts, and yeah, she'll love to hear that.
Well, good. We have another one coming up on quilting, so she'll be excited.
Oh, I'll let her know.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I wanted to talk quickly about your other creative endeavors. I know I think I saw that you made some purses, like some bags. That just triggered when you said quilting. You sew as well?
Yeah.
Look at you.
I just actually the story behind that is I bought this really nice lined silk fabric to make curtains for our bedroom, and I got it home and it was a completely different color, like out of the store. So I couldn't return it because it was cut. So I was like, what am I going to do with all of this fabric? And then I thought, oh, I'll make some bags and sell them. So I made I don't know, something ridiculous, like 50 bags. It was crazy. And then I sold all those. And, you know, I make merch. I painted my own t-shirts and I do postcards and, you know, I do a lot of things for my fans. I try and give away a lot of stuff and, I try and like interact with my fans a lot, especially on Facebook and Twitter. And
I've noticed that you're very good to your fans, and
they're
here I had just
me.
A little a fan appreciation day coming up, and offer them a little special something.
Well,
you know?
they're really good to me, and that's why I feel like they're so important. And you know, I try and mix it up, and I give away records and T-shirts and some of my merchandise, but I also try and do other things too. Like on Mother's Day, I called 10 moms. I had people post who their mom was and why they loved her. And then I picked a few of them and called them and sang them a song on Mother's Day.
So
and
great.
It was so awesome.
I bet that was fun.
It was so fun. I think I called someone in England and someone in Arizona, and there was like someone in Vancouver, and I just called all over the place, and these beautiful mothers were like, that's a nice Mother's Day gift. And I was in tears, and yeah, it was really fun. But I just, that's like my favorite part of what we do, is besides the music, is meeting people and making new friends.
Well, you recognize that your fans are the reason that you're able to be successful
exactly.
at this.
Yeah.
And so that's so appreciated. Well, our listeners can tell I'm a huge fan of both of you, and I was thrilled when I found out that you were coming out here to play a show, and excited that we could have you on the Mormon Channel to interview you. And Megan actually sent me a little package, a little advance thank you gift, and it's all cute, creative little things, copies of the CD and a T-shirt and handmade cards and this great little, what would you call that?
I don't know, it's like a canvas, and I found some really pretty paper and just put some trees on it and framed it for you. So.
Yes, it's beautiful.
Oh,
I just
love it. I'm glad you like it.
Yes, thank you so much. So this is a real treat for me to have you both here today.
Well, it is thank a treat you. For us too. Thank you for having us so much.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, we look forward to hearing more from you. Thank you both again. To see pictures from today's episode, you can visit our website at mormonchannel.org. I'm Nancy Hansen, and this is Everything Creative, a program of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.